T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's 5 o'clock hour of the Hawk and Crowder Show. Dono in for Hawk. And Crowder, it is the Funky Buddha happy hour. Woo! I love that.
You're a Funky Buddha guy, right?
I am. I love the Hop Gun. I love the Floridian. Oh, I can knock down a couple cases of that Floridian. And you know what? Funky Buddha has been my best friend during Miami Dolphins season.
You know what? They are a good friend.
Funky Buddha was also a very good friend to me after Miami struggled to beat Central Michigan last Saturday. Funky Buddha was my bro after that.
Up by one, down by one, up by 10, down by 60. Funky Buddha never lets you down, man. Actually, we're going to be out. You want to come? October 3rd. What's that, next Thursday?
Yeah, next Thursday.
You want to come out because Solana's coming, Dan Day's coming, me and Hawk are going to be out there. After the show, we're going
north
to Oakland Park.
I've never actually been there. Like, I've had the beer. I buy it at Publix, and I get it at Panthers games. They have the Funky Buddha tap room there, never actually been to the brewery.
Oh, you got to come up there. Next Thursday, if you can get off. We'll be up there. It'll take us about 35, 40 minutes to get there. But after the show, we're leaving straight up there. It is opening night for the Panthers. So we're going to watch the Panthers up there because Funky Buddha, like you said, they're a big partner with the Panthers. They actually have a Gloves Off, which is a red IPA, and it was created by or co-created by Sean Thornton, and they made that for the Panthers. So we're going to watch that game. Thursday night football is going to be going on, and it's in Oakland Park. It's actually 1201 Northeast 38th Street in Oakland Park. Just type in Funky Buddha in your phone, even the GPS, the Siri, everybody knows where it is. But next Thursday, October 3rd, Dono, you're invited now. Dan Day's going to be there. Solana.
Dan Day's going to be there before you even get there.
Oh, yeah. He's an alien. He got a damn spaceship. He's a great dude. But, yes, we're going to be up there. Join listeners. Come out and hang out with us. We're going to have a good time. You can see how much beer I can drink because I can put it down too, Dono.
I'm not even going to try to compete with you. I know you take that.
Next Thursday, come on out. We're going to have a real good time. Dan said he's going to go head-to-head with me. We'll see, Dan. Dan, you about 140, Dan.
140? Dan. Bro, he's like 119 maybe, Dan, 120. Dan,
here's the thing.
He got a big liver.
Dan is deceptive. He's like Kobayashi. Like he's just going to be putting beer away into like parts of his body you didn't even think existed.
That's what it is.
He's like one of those, don't camels have like extra like stomachs or compartments to store water? Cows have like four stomachs?
Yeah.
He's got parts you can't even see to put away that beer.
You know camels store the water in them big-ass humps on their back, right?
That's what he's got. He's got humps. I had him with extra stomachs. God, I need a Funky Buddha right now.
I'm telling you. Hey, bro, listen now. Right down the road. We're on 84th. The gas station on, 88th, 89th, right up here has Funky Buddha. It's right down the road.
I
picked me up a six-pack on the way home.
Have they talked to you about designing your own beer like Sean Thornton?
Yeah, we do have one. We have the Puddle Jumper.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it's a peach IPA. It's from, because I'm from Georgia, so they put peaches in it.
And
yes,
okay.
It hasn't been, I don't think it's bottled yet, but next Thursday,
yes!
We'll go up there. They created it. It's a peach IPA, and I've had it one time. I need to go and dibble and dabble in it a little more, but yes, they did have something. I wanted to get a quadruple IPA and call it You Think You Tough, but we just said it broke down. The talks broke down.
I want to see you. Like, you got to get those T-shirts printed up because you told me years ago about that tattoo you wanted to get on your stomach, Beer Lives Here.
I loved it.
You got to get T-shirts printed up with Beer Lives Here right over the gut.
The reason I didn't get the Beer Lives Here is my wife said she really, really strongly, strongly disliked the idea of that.
And I don't really blame her.
But the T-shirts, you have something going with the T-shirts.
You get
that. I'm not going to say no to my wife. I'm soft as cotton at the house now.
Before we get to the top 10 most embarrassing NFL franchises, let's get to some headlines with Alejandro Solana.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Also want to remind everybody this hour of the Hawkman and Crowder Show is brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. So Inter Milan, the true Inter,
Hold on.
hold on for a 1-0 victory for midweek Serie A action.
I was sweating a little bit while we were talking to Tom DeAngelo. I had the game on, and they came close to conceding a couple of times. I was sweating bullets, but we made it.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
The Florida Panthers will play their final preseason home game tomorrow night. They'll face the Lightning at the BB&T Center. The Marlins are in action tonight. They play game three of their four-game series versus the Mets. First pitch from New York is at 7:10. Only four games left in the Marlins season, by the way. Tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football, the Packers host the Eagles at Lambeau Field. Green Bay still a five-point favorite in that game. And we spoke about it in the previous hour, but some important Dolphins news. Josh Rosen was on the injury list, but it appears he will be able to go on Sunday when the Dolphins host the Chargers at home.
One thing about Rosen that he needs to do, and I know they're talking to him about it. I'm no genius at this. He has to understand that his availability is bigger than anything else.
It is, yeah.
Him trying to get an extra yard down the sideline and then Robert Quinn dumped him on his neck, him running and sliding at the last second, and the guy banged his face in the ground. Like, get down. Like, second and 10, get to third and 10. Like,
especially
just live to play another down.
And you're already playing behind that offensive line. Like, you're going to take enough blindside hits when you don't see it coming. The stuff you do see coming, you need to get down or get out of the way.
Yes, and I want to see him do it more this week. Like, if you see the pressure coming, you know they can't block it. Tom Brady does it all the time. Throw the ball into the third row of the stands. Yeah. Dak Prescott did it a number of times playing him. When the guy wouldn't give the, you know, the guy wouldn't give the ball back, it was a whole little thing on TV where the guy kept Dak's ball.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Dak got pressure and threw the ball through the back of the end zone and hit the second row. And the guy, he wouldn't give the security guard the ball back because, hell, it's an NFL ball.
Yeah, I'd keep it.
Yeah, and he kept it, and I think they let him keep it. But I want to see – I told all the great quarterbacks do that. Like, second down can be given away. Get to third. Second and seven. Okay, third and seven. Second and seven. Run around for 15 seconds. Get the hell knocked out of you. Now it's third and 15. Like, sometimes you just have to eat it down. Just take that as a loss and get to the next down. Rosen needs to work on that.
You know, going back to Solana mentioned the Panthers playing the Lightning in preseason, then they're opening with the Lightning. Between preseason and the regular season starting, because their first two regular season games are against the Tampa Bay Lightning, those teams, Florida and Tampa Bay, will play each other five consecutive times. Like, it's weird. It's like, it's almost like a playoff series, but it's happening preseason and regular season. Like, these guys will be literally trying to tear each other's heads off by that second regular season game. They're seeing each other so many consecutive times.
Is that normal, or is it that we're so close?
I think it's because they're so close. Because, and you know, full disclosure, I don't follow a lot of teams preseason, but I have no. I mean, just
who does?
Just to be real, I don't follow a lot of NHL teams preseason, but I have followed the Panthers preseasons in recent years, and it seems like they do. I don't know if it's ever been five straight, but they seem to do it where they play like their final couple of preseason games against Tampa Bay. And even last year, they also did the home and away with Tampa Bay to open the year. So it's become like a weird in-state tradition. They never see each other in the playoffs because Panthers haven't gotten there nearly enough. Yeah. But in the preseason and regular season, it's like every other day these teams are going at it.
I don't know. It must be different. You couldn't play. Like, you would never want to play a team in the NFL the last week of preseason, the first week of the season. Like,
yeah.
It's too soon. You're seeing too much. You're showing too many people their skill sets and their routes and the offensive approach. So it might be different in hockey, but I see that as a disadvantage playing the teams.
Well,
because
like a big thing in hockey, because you know you see this like in playoff series where you're playing 4 to 7 games straight, where by the time you're hitting the third or fourth game, they just all want to kill each other because it's the same. They have to an extent in the NBA, but hockey's an actual sport with fights, mm-hmm. right? So by like the third game of a playoff series, there's scrums and hotspots on the ice like every 5 minutes. So you kind of want to space these games out a little bit more.
I'm old school. I like it. Slap the hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
Fight.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, guys. Jimmy Butler was ranked 21st overall on ESPN's top 100 NBA player rankings.
By the way, I didn't ask you before. Who's number one?
It hasn't come out yet.
Oh, so today, I'm sorry. It's 30 to 11.
Right.
You're right.
Today
you're right,
it was just right. 30 to 11. We'll get back to that probably later this week. Hmm. By the way, Jimmy Butler will be officially introduced to the Miami Heat organization on Friday. Today, Myers Leonard, center who came over in the Hassan Whiteside deal, was introduced today. And finally, guys,
I heard him on with Zaslo and Amber. He's a personable dude.
He's a cool dude.
I like him.
Yeah,
him and his wife is like very active on social media as well. They're a pretty cool pretty cool couple coming down to South Florida.
I think it's funny that like they signed Jimmy Butler almost 3 months ago, and apparently he could never get his travel schedule to match up with Pat Riley's travel schedule to be introduced before, you know, the last week of September. But I'm kind of happy it's happening this week, because with my football team struggling and one of them is off this weekend, give me something I can enjoy on Friday, right?
Cheer for Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's my man.
And finally, guys, according to a new survey, the most popular way to order steaks in this country is well done.
What? Damn dummies.
Bunch of 8-year-olds voting on
it. Oh my goodness. Beat out medium rare, which came in second. I mean, it's a shame Hawk's not here, Crowder, for this story, because he's one of these weirdos that orders his steak well done.
Yeah, man. I actually ain't got no palates, no good palates.
In most places, unless like I know they cook it a certain way that where maybe like the medium rare is more rare. In most places, I'll order it rare because I expect them to overcook it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. It's one of the few things that makes me feel manly in life is the way I order my steak. Like, I'm not proud of a whole lot, except for the way I order my steak, because there's something about the server comes up to you, how would you like it cooked? Rare, where I just, like, in that moment, I feel like a lumberjack. Or so, like, I feel
that's
like I just
raw meat.
Like I just operated like a crane or a piece of heavy machinery. Like, they're barely going to cook that meat. And I also like the way it tastes, so I'm not just doing it for show.
Just took a machete and cut a hunk out of a cow's side. And
I slaughtered it myself.
Bro, have you ever tried Pittsburgh medium rare?
Yeah, that's where it's charred, like charred on the outside. Oh, it's so good.
I had one today. Oh, my goodness gracious.
How do you order your steak? Rare?
Charred medium.
I love it.
Charred medium. Like it's you. If it's a thick steak, I'll get it medium.
Yeah.
But if it's a thinner steak, I'll go medium rare, because like you said, everybody leaves it on the fire a little too long for me.
Yeah, they all do. What about
you,
Solana?
I like to dip my bread in the blood. I get all the blood off the plate.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, me too, goodness. Man. That's the best, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, medium rare is definitely where it's at.
Way to go. That is the way to go.
You know, damn steak sauce, when you got that blood, A1. Cow blood.
I mean, if you have to slab A1 on there, it's probably because you're at like a fast food steakhouse. Like, it's not good steak.
Super, super damn well done. And now you got to cover it up because it tastes like damn leather. Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. We're dumb. People don't got no palates.
Weather is brought to you by Hialeah Park. Right now in South Florida, it is currently mostly sunny, 84 degrees, no precipitation for at least the next 120 minutes, exactly,
whoa,
South Florida. Yeah, you heard that right. No precipitation for at least the next 120 minutes. Right now, the dust and dander levels are pretty high.
I didn't even know that was like, you can check the dust and dander? I didn't know that was a thing.
Donna, you want tree pollen, grass pollen, ragweed pollen, or mold levels? Just
I'm
let
good.
Me know, because I have all of them.
I'll take some ragweed.
Huh? Visit Hialeah Park Casino every Saturday to win your share of $10,000 in giveaways, drawings all day long, and it's free to enter. Visit HialeahPark.com for more information.
Probably going to make people angry because we still, at some point, need to get to USA Today's 10 most embarrassing franchises in the NFL, but I'm going to have to make folks wait a little bit longer because coming up next, we're going to talk with Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So you have to wait at some time, I can promise you, at some time before 6 o'clock. We'll have the 10 most embarrassing NFL franchises.
We got y'all, and Dono doesn't lie.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes. We go out now to the guest line and bring in our good friend Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Dave, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How's everybody doing?
Doing very well. And I wanted to ask you, because everyone knew that there was a really good chance the Dolphins would be really, really, really bad before the season even started. All this talk about tanking and everything. But has it been kind of a harsh reality to actually have to cover a team that's this bad? Was the expectation different from reality for you?
God, we've only covered three. And at the end of the third game, I was walking. I thought, I got no ideas to write. So we got 13 more to go. So I predicted 0-16. I didn't think it'd be this bad. I think I was an optimist too at the time, because losing by an average of 39 points, that's staggering to me.
How much of it, because the personnel we know is very far from being what you should see on a competitive NFL team. So how much do you nitpick the coaching? Like, do you feel like Flores and his staff are doing a good job considering, or are they big contributors to the problems?
Yeah, to me, when they went down this road, I said, I'm going to give Brian Flores wide latitude here because nobody's going to be able to win with this. The concerning thing to me is that it didn't turn into a three-ring clown show, and I still have that concern. I really didn't like that. You know, I get why people want to get out of here, but if I'm the team and you got a talent of Minka Fitzpatrick, one of your foundational players, 22 years old, I have a hard time. I just can't trade him just because he wants to get out. So how Brian Flores, you know, we're in week four now. How in week 9 and 10, how he keeps guys, let's just face it, veterans on the field, willing to sacrifice their bodies if things remain this uncompetitive, which, look, they're going to have to be in some games because of some of the opponents coming up. But if they keep losing just to keep guys out there, and we're not even talking anymore about building a culture. It's just surviving the season.
They're trying to survive through it, Dave. It's funny you talk about the coaching because one of my questions was, and honestly, Dave, this is what would upset me. In the New England and Dallas game, you're down 13-0 and 10-6 at half. You played strong on defense, at least. Offensively, you know, you hadn't put much points up, but you looked like you should be on the field with them. You come out in the second half, and you get destroyed. At halftime, did they not coach him up? Is it fatigue? Is the defense on the field too long? Like, those second halves of the New England and Dallas game, that would have frustrated me as a defender on the Dolphins.
Yeah, and look, the New England game, I think, five of the first six series on offense were three and outs. That told you how much the defense was on the field. I think how could you maintain going against the New England offense and the Dallas offense when you're just being put out there time after time? I think it's exhaustion. You know, maybe it's beyond my football knowledge, really, to know adjustments and all that. But when I look at the roster they have and the I thought the first half, Dallas's offense was still looking at, wow, we've watched this team on film for 2 weeks and look how bad they are. We're going to try. In fact, Dak Prescott said after the game, I got greedy. You know, I'm going to throw the ball up there because I thought, you know, hey, I'd seen it work for 2 weeks. So, they played defensively well the first two half of those games, but I also think they just got exhausted by the second half.
And Dave, in Sun Sentinel, Dave interviewed me for his recent column.
This is my quid pro quo, a little quid pro quo. You interview me, I interview you.
Yes, sir. We you know what I'm saying? We're
I was
media
wondering
members.
How we got a big time score like Dave.
Yeah, we
got
to watch out for each other. But Sun Sentinel, it's Dave Hyde Sports at Dave Hyde Sports on Twitter. It's an article about the difference between 07 to 2019. He interviewed Mandy Mueller, who was the GM at the time, Jason Taylor, and myself. And as you did that research, going there, you have to read it. I read it. I had to read my own quotes, Donald. I'm like that. But, yes, as you did your research, Dave, what is worse? Because you're trying not to win and you lose three games in a row. You're probably going to lose a number more, 16, or trying to win and lose a 15. Like, as you talk to me, JT, and Randy, like, which is worse for a team, not trying to win and lose or trying to win and still losing?
In the moment, I think this is worse. In the moment, I remember when I interviewed Randy Mueller, I asked him a comparison. There was a pause, and he said that quote. I don't think they're comparable at all. And he went on about why not. And I said, Jason Taylor said the same thing, that you guys were in games, you were snake bit. You had some, and then injuries started to pile up, and so in the moment, losing by 39 points, I mean, you had the quote that I loved where you said that halftime, if you were playing in that Baltimore opener at halftime, you might have been crying.
Yes.
Because they just whipped your butt. Every time they touched the ball, they scored. So in the moment, this is worse. This season's going to be worse. Now, you temper that by saying, okay, this is part of a bigger plan, if you're buying into the plan that they're going to come out of this with really controlling the first round of the draft next year, going after a franchise quarterback and building a what they hope to be a sustained winner. So, but look, I take pity on the veteran players on the Dolphins right now. You know, so there's some of the younger ones, guys just happy to be in the league. They picked up off the waiver wire, happy to have a job. That's different. But for a guy like Xavien Howard, who's an elite cornerback, or Bobby McCain, a great veteran, I take pity on those guys having to go through this.
You know, five first-round picks in the next 2 years, but should Dolphin fans be all in on trusting Chris Greer to be the one to make all those correct picks and fix this?
Great question. Look, he's got to be better than he's been, right? I mean, that's the flat-out bottom line. Now, they backstopped the decisions. You look what they've done in the front office. Very smart. Reggie McKenzie's come in from Oakland, veteran personnel guy. Marvin Allen, a veteran guy, personnel guy from Buffalo and Kansas City, among other places. So they build up the front office knowing that, look, all their chips are in the next two drafts. And so that's smart. You look at the most recent drafts, yeah, they're open for question. Chris Greer's got to be better than he's been. That's the bottom line of here. And to me, what I've written and said is if you have to tank, it's the last refuge of dumb franchises. You've said we can't go out and find a franchise quarterback any other way. We didn't see Patrick Mahomes like Kansas City. We didn't see Carson Wentz like Philadelphia used our trade, our draft, that trade to trade up. You didn't think Lamar Jackson, you know, the verdict's a little out on him still, but you didn't see, you couldn't find guys that other teams have invested in or didn't trust them. So you have to tank to get a number one pick and get it. So yeah, there's questions for Chris Greer.
And Dave, I got people asking me now with Rosen playing, which he did look better than Fitzpatrick. In my opinion, a lot of people are coming up to me asking me about, hey, could he convince the Dolphins not to get a quarterback? Dave, I don't give a damn what Rosen does for the rest of the year. You go out and get the top quarterback that you've evaluated as your franchise changer and let him compete, whatever you want to do with Rosen. But is there anything Rosen could do that makes them not draft a quarterback in the first round very high, 1, 2, 3?
He would have to do something that I can't even imagine, okay? I mean, he'd have to be so good – you know, that I can't even imagine anybody, first of all, playing with this group.
Yeah.
You know, the line's awful. There's no number one or number two receiver out there, as much as people want to say how good the receivers are. So then you throw in the fact that, you know, the defense hadn't been great either. So you got to score points. So I agree with you. Josh Rosen, to me, did pretty much, given the circumstances, everything he could do in the first half, especially last week. But is there anything he could do, given the supporting cast around him, to prove that, he's the answer? I don't see it. I mean, maybe after week 16, we're wowed, but, I think there's questions still about Josh Rosen, how much the game really means to him.
We're joined by Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel here on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Dono in for Hockman today. You know, Dave, now luckily for you, you're a columnist. You get to write about other teams, which is kind of good and bad, depending on which other teams those are. But you know this market very well. Do you kind of foresee Dayton Broward catching Florida Panthers fever? I mean, I was around for the Stanley Cup Finals run in 1996. I remember how fun that was. I'm not necessarily thinking the team this year gets that far, but do you think South Florida can start buying into hockey if Joel Quenneville can really put a special product out there?
As a fallback for every other franchise, well, the Heat, they're in a down cycle, but for them, the down cycle is just missing the playoffs. Will people fall in love? Here's my view of what will happen this year. The Panthers will be a pretty good team. I mean, let's face it, if they're not a good team this year, they're never going to be a good team. They got a Hall of Fame coach now. They got the number one free agent goalie out there, one of the top goalies in the league. To go along with what other is a, you know, it's not even a young nucleus anymore. It's in their prime nucleus, good players. So they'll have a good year, and people will go, why aren't people going to the games? Why aren't they going to the games? Then the playoffs will come. And I think people will get excited. And if they have success in the spring, I'm not meaning a Stanley Cup, but just, you know, make a little run, that'll carry into next year. And really what the Panthers need to do is have a sustained few years of winning to build their fan base up from, really, it's just the lowest common denominator of hockey fan left out there.
Dave, does the other teams really think about that? Do the Panthers have meetings and say, hey, the Dolphins ain't nothing right now, man. The Heat don't have no stars, man. Let's do something. Let's bring in Bobrovsky. Let's shake it up.
I don't think they think, strategically think, oh, we need to go out and get somebody because the stage is empty and we could occupy, the center ring right now. But on the other hand, they think, God, if we would just start winning, people would actually start following us because nobody else is winning. And let's face it, as a columnist, I'm looking for a winner right now. All I'm writing about is four pro teams in the University of Miami football and that are struggling in various forms, but they're all struggling.
Well, and speaking of struggling football teams, I know that my Miami Hurricanes did take a W this past Saturday, but it didn't feel much like a win, Dave. And, you know, kind of before that Central Michigan game, I was thinking, man, this feels like a really bad time to have a bye week because they'll win this game easily, build some momentum, then you hit a bye week. Then after the game, I reflect on it. Wow, this is the perfect time to have a bye week before you hit that ACC Coastal meaty part of the schedule coming up. But, I mean, well, what did you make of that performance this past Saturday? And are the Hurricanes kind of even farther behind what we thought they were after those first couple of losses?
Look, after they went into the year, and everybody expect magically all their openings to be okay, all their problems from last year to be solved. And I was like, look, I love what Manny Diaz did in the offseason. He changed the narrative of the team and the new Miami and all that. But they still got all the problems they did that getting run off the field of 35-3 by Wisconsin and losing, what was it, 5 of their last 7. So there's no magic wand to be waved here. And now struggling Central Michigan, that's beyond what they should do. And then again, that loss to North Carolina is looking worse and worse when you see what North Carolina has done in the last couple of weeks. So, the other thing is we made a big deal, including me, made a big deal of the transfer portal, how Miami's working it and they're really good and bringing in all this talent. You see what Lawrence Cager did for Georgia last week?
I mean, seriously.
Wow.
I guess nothing should surprise me at this point.
We forgot guys went the other way in the transfer portal, too.
Hey, Dave, if it gets bad, man, just go dive for some lobsters, bro. That's all we
there
can
you
do,
go,
man.
Baby.
It's lobster season.
Out on the water, right, Channing?
Yeah, man.
I'm
trying to set up a fishing trip or something, man, because these Dolphins are upsetting me.
I remember in 07, speaking of 07, Channing, when you guys were struggling, I did a column. I got to find something else to do. You know, someone give me ideas. I'll do anything on a Sunday. Some besides go watch it. And this was by December. Someone wrote in, come and help me put up my Christmas lights. And I went out there, instead of going to your guys' game when it was like, you're what, 0 and whatever, went out to this guy's house and I helped him put up his Christmas lights. So I might have to dredge that up again on Sundays, but going lobster sounds a lot better.
I'm telling you, that 07, you should have called me. I'd have left the game. I knew what the outcome was. I would have hit it.
How do you go lobstering? You like drop the trap into the water? Or you get
no.
You glove them? Like
no.
how do you do that?
Me and Dave,
man,
we are men.
Educate them a little. Educate them, Channing.
We swim down there to the big reef heads, and we poke them out. We get a little stick. You tickle them out, and you put a net behind them. You poke them in the face. They shoot into the net. You swim back to the boat. You put them in the cooler, and you eat the hell out of them.
I would just drop the trap down. They got claws.
Twist their heads off when you get back to the dock, and then you're all set.
Dave, I might go this weekend.
I didn't know Dave Hyde was a talented lobster man. You could follow him on Twitter at Dave Hyde Sports. Dave, thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys. See you.
It's Dave Hyde there from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Thanks again to Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel for joining us. Also to Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post. And thanks to Radio.com NFL insider Michael Lombardi for joining us. Dono in for Hawk today, Hawk and Crowder.
My coworker, Mike
Lombardi.
That's
right. You're also a Radio.com NFL
yes,
insider.
Sorry, Bob.
How many interviews like a week do you do? Are you loaded up the schedule?
It fluctuates. First 2 weeks of Dolphin season, I was going between 8 and 12. Last week was a little light.
Like, do you get the same questions over and over? Like, tanking? Like, is that?
Yeah.
Like, what
yeah.
do people ask you?
Well, it's funny because they go Dolphins for a while, but a lot of it's more general NFL.
Okay.
Like, because like we did with Lombardi, we asked him about Rhodes and we asked him some questions, but then we got into football, Aiden Antonio Brown and all that stuff. Like, when they call you an NFL insider,
yeah.
we're not just sticking in Miami now. We're going around the league.
All right, well, give me your NFL insight on this, okay? USA Today has released a list of the most embarrassing franchises in the NFL. So I got some good news and some bad news. The good news is the Miami Dolphins are not number one.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay? They did crack the top five, though. That's the bad
news. What?
Yeah.
Is it like this year? Or is it
no,
like,
it's
like
overall.
In general?
In general.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, it's been a long time since Marino was suiting up. It's been very long time since 72.
But even like the Browns, if the Browns aren't on that list.
They're number one.
I was going to say, because they're okay now. Okay, that's okay. Yeah. Now I'm happy. Now I'm happy.
The Browns are definitely on. The Browns headline the list. They say it's the Cleveland Browns. Yes, this year was supposed to be different, they write, with Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Nick Chubb, and eventually Kareem Hunt. But so far, they're 1-2, and Mayfield is looking overrated. And I agree with that assessment on Mayfield. Then number two, the Detroit Lions. You knew they'd be there.
Yes.
And actually, the two of those franchises both have an 0-16 in their pretty recent history, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins may be getting that, you know, in a couple months.
they go get one.
Yeah, they're going to get one. Number three, Cincinnati Bengals. They write, that's the Bengals last won a playoff game in 1991. Jeez.
And Marvin Lewis, boy, he had him floating for a while.
Yeah, I mean, treading water is probably more the statement than floating.
Floating in garbage.
They were surviving, right?
They were surviving. They weren't drowning.
Number four, the Buffalo Bills. So the AFC East getting some love there.
Is that love or hate?
Yeah, I guess it is hate, which actually, and on that note, I'm a little bit insulted that the Jets didn't crack the top five and the Dolphins did. Because, I mean,
Mark Sanchez.
When was the last time that the Jets won a Super Bowl in the 60s? Like Super Bowl III with Joe Namath.
What was the AFC Championship game? What was that set with Rex and Rex?
Yeah, it was probably around like 08,
09.
08, 09. So, yeah, 10 years ago, they were in the AFC Championship.
I mean, still, it's a dumpster fire.
Oh, I'm not going to argue for the Jets. just thinking back.
So here's what they say about the Dolphins. Number five, NFL's most embarrassing franchises. The league's current in all caps, worst team, the Miami Dolphins. They haven't won a playoff game since 2000. They've only been to the playoffs three times since then, and it doesn't look like they'll be back anytime soon. That's short and sweet. That's their assessment, right?
It's not bad, though.
What do you mean?
That sounds – no, I'm saying like that they're
oh,
not,
yeah.
they're not
it's
off.
Fair. Like, you're right. Like I can't read that and be angry, right, because nothing they say there is untrue. Now – You can say that them being the current worst team, they're kind of doing it on purpose.
Yes.
So, and you know what? That's kind of a crutch for me as a fan. That when they're – because, you know, I think it was it Dave Hyde who brought up how, you know, he thought 07 was worse because those games were close?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, the opposite. He thought this year is worse than 07 because at least in 07 the games were close when they went 1-15. I feel the opposite because I feel like the score lines, and we still have, you know, 13 games left to play, but the score lines have been so laughable that they don't, like, let me down emotionally because it's very clear before the game even starts they're going to get pounded.
That's what we asked Dave last segment about that. And is it to go 1-15, 0-16, just to say be terrible, to be terrible on accident or to be terrible on purpose? To be terrible on accident, I think, is worse than – because we knew.
Yeah.
Like, on that 07 team, and Dave has an article out right now, and he actually quoted me, he interviewed me for it, and when We had JT. We had Joey Porter. We had Ronnie Brown. Before Ronnie tore his ACL, Ronnie was leading the NFL in all-purpose yards. Like, we had players on that team. Zach Thomas was still on there. That was his last season, was 07. Like, we had players on that team. We had Hall of Famers on that team, and we went 1-15. I think this year is better because they're not trying to do too much. They didn't construct the roster to be 15-1. They constructed the roster to be 1-15. We constructed our roster in 07 to be 10-6 or something like that and failed. So I think 07's worse, but it's all about opinion.
Yeah, like I remember being really angry, like kicking things, upset, sad after a lot of those close losses in 07 where, and I know, listen, this is a marathon, not a sprint this year. We've only endured three of these games so far, but I don't feel angry. Like, well, why am I going to feel angry when everyone was telling me how bad this team was going to be before the year even started and how, oh, we're so excited for Tua. Like, how am I going to be upset if they lose a game by 43 points or by 36 points? Like, I'm numb to it at this point.
I get upset when they get in the red zone and fumble on the five or Devontae Parker drops the ball on the five. You know what it is? Bad football.
Yeah.
Just seeing the bad football gets to me. That's what gets to me. But the outcome of the game doesn't get to me. I'm with you on that. But just watching the just embarrassing football gets to me. Damn, Lamar Jackson, 6 drives, 6 touchdowns, had 500, what was it, almost 600 yards of total offense. Like, that just upsets me because that's not even the game I grew up loving.
Totally. And Lamar Jackson, he had a perfect quarterback rating against Miami. It's tough. It's tough being a Dolphin fan sometimes.
Guys, I got to tell you about the National Gridiron League. It's a new indoor league now. It's in the offseason of NFL and NCAA. They did it on purpose. New indoor league with 12 teams throughout the United States. There's an Eastern and Western Conference. There's 6 teams in each, and the best team in both those conferences will play in the Gridiron Bowl in Biloxi, Mississippi. Mini camp starts January 2020. It's getting rolling right now, guys. March 2020 is camp, and it goes through August. The championship will be in August, and that's the Gridiron Bowl. The league provides an opportunity for players and coaches to show their skills and advance to higher levels of competition. This is finding those untapped talent, finding all the untapped talent around the nation and letting them play in a minor league alternative to the NFL. The NGL has signed 300 players right now. We talked to the president a couple days ago, signed 300 players already, Division I 5-star recruits all the way down to high school graduates that didn't even go to college, but they have some skills. If you know anybody that's 18 years old, if you are 18 years old and you can ball out, you can play in the NGL. The upcoming player symposium and player tryouts, you got to get the information at www.nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. Learn about the league, contract structures, league rules, league and team tryout dates, www.nationalgridiron.com/tryouts. And there's also marketing opportunities with the NGL. They have regional and national sponsorship opportunities. And they will be heavily involved. It's a thing that the president made known. They'll be heavily involved in the communities that they are getting into, health, education, youth sports. If you want any information about the marketing deals with the NGL, marketing opportunities, you go to info@nglfootball.com. That's info@nglfootball.com. But I got to say it. For years, people come up to me and say, hey, man, my nephew, my cousin, my brother, he's extremely talented, got in a little trouble or something happened coming out of college. We moved or went to just, you know, things happen in players' lives and they miss that opportunity. They miss that collegiate window. The NGL will give them that opportunity, and all y'all have to do it for them, or they can do it themselves. Go to nationalgridiron.com. Find these tryout dates. Go get your opportunity. Get some film going, and you don't know where this opportunity can take you throughout the football landscape. NationalGridiron.com is that website, /tryouts, NationalGridiron.com/tryouts, and I am honored to be a part of it.
That'll do it for us. I want to thank Dave Hyde, Mike Lombardi, Tom D'Angelo for joining us. Great stuff by Alex Solana on the other side of the glass. Hockman will be back with Crowder tomorrow, so he will speak with you mañana.
Master Splinterish.
I think my original celebrity crush, DJ Tanner.
Who?
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.